Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
While nobody was watching or paying attention, the Dems may have had their worst moment ever. The impeachment trial ended quietly Saturday, only because the Dems had no fewer than three things just totally blow up in their face. We have largely ignored this sham trial at KKHI, but the screw-ups were so glorious, we got to share them with you today. President Biden took vacation this weekend with nothing on his schedule except sleep and video games with his grandkids. Seriously? This dude didn't make it a month before he needed to relax? In Australia, their conservative prime minister has defeated Google and Facebook. He says he's not allowing them to do what they did to Trump in the United States. Both those companies are now negotiating to pay Australian companies for content, or they won't be allowed to operate at all in Australia. Way to go, Prime Minister. The Daytona 500 ended in a fiery crash. I guess that's kind of exciting. I like racing, but I really hate that you're allowed to just crash somebody out in front of you to win a race. We'll break down what happened at Daytona late on Sunday night. The NCAA had a bracket reveal this weekend, 16 teams, and Missouri came in at 16. That's all the farther they rank them as of right now. But that makes Mizzou a 4 seed. I feel KUMU in our future. And a woman is demanding an apology from Tom Brady. This is in the running for the most absurd thing you're going to hear this week. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Roberts Robinson, we just make it easy. All the customers say that. Whether you're looking for an oil change or repairs, when the weather is bad like this, it's actually a great time. They'll come pick your car up for you. They do that no matter where you live in the city. They'll come get your car and take it to the dealership and service it and bring it back to you. They do it. It's kind of a loss leader. They just want you to know what Mike has promised me that I'm promising you. You will never find another automobile dealership that treats you as well as Roberts Robinson. Period. End of statement. It's a promise. And they mean it with things like that. Who does that? Who picks up your car, services it for you, and brings it back to you? Well, when it's this cold, take advantage of that. Just give them a call or log on to robertsrobinson.com for more details. Or maybe check out the Sierra Denali, which is what I'm driving from Roberts Robinson right now. And it's been great to have it the past couple of weeks with all the snow and everything. It's just awesome. The four-wheel drive is fantastic. Of course, you expect that with a great GMC professional-grade truck. It's what they are. What I didn't realize is how luxurious this truck is, how comfortable these seats are. And all, I told you about the seat heater having separate buttons for the butt part and the back part. I know that sounds like nothing, and maybe other cars have it. I just have never had that. I like that heat on my back, but not on my buns. So I think it's kind of cool. I like it. This is a great truck, man. You can find yourself one at Roberts Robinson right now, or maybe you've got your eyes on a Silverado or a Colorado or a Canyon. Truck headquarters for sure. RobertsRobinson.com. Shop, click, and drive, or visit the showroom in Excelsior Springs. We are professional grade. Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Boy, this weather is bad on your roof. When this ends, you're going to want to call Ron and get it inspected. If you have not had anybody up on your roof for a few years, get it checked out. The inspection is free if you mention the podcast. They'll just check it out for you. Make sure you're good to go when the big heavy rains come this spring. Buck Roofing, 913-384-2680. That's 384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. The first appointment is free. These guys all love the podcast so much. They're like, free, 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 free. Free inspection of your roof, free test drive, free consultation. First appointment's free at Fry Orthodontics. Guys, if you don't like your smile, it's not too late. Even as adults, get in there and check out Invisalign. People won't see those trays. It's largely hidden, and it works. Improve your smile. Your smile is just the start at Fry Orthodontics. Online at fryorthodontics.com or call the main number and find out about the location nearest you, 469-9191. That's 913-469-9191 for Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Oh my gosh, did this impeachment blow up in their face? You got to hear this stuff. I know not many of us were paying attention, but the aftermath is glorious on KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Joslyn's Jewelry presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Brand new week, same rotten weather. Hang in there. It can't be long now. Another, a week to 10 days and maybe some temperatures in the 50s. Spring is around the corner. We can't let this get us down. Everything is frozen. This is the frozen tundra. I don't remember it being this way this long. I think we're looking at about, what, almost two consecutive weeks under freezing, under 32 degrees. So hope you're all staying warm and staying safe. This is craziness. And we've got people listen to the podcast all over the country and actually all over the world, many countries as well, tune in. So if you're not anywhere in the Midwest, you may not know what we're talking about, but this is just highly unusual. But we're working our way through it. We are working our way through as we are halfway through February and spring is around the corner. And I always look forward to that. We've got a nice podcast for you today. And we'll start with a story that I'd kind of been ignoring because I think your interest level in it was probably as low as mine. And my interest level in the impeachment was pretty darn low. I mean, it's something we'd been through before. We know it's fake. We know it is all theater. It's all politics. It's just essentially extending a campaign against Donald Trump by the Democrats. And we all knew this going in. I had no idea that this thing would fall apart and be this flimsy on the Democrats. I mean, I knew they were not going to win. It was the same thing as before. This is a waste of time. Hey, at least before they were calling witnesses and looking for a smoking gun. Like, hey, maybe something somewhere, maybe we'll learn something during impeachment about Trump that would sway this thing and we could get him out of office. I mean, it was a swing for the fences long shot, but there was nothing like that here. He's not a sitting president anymore. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court didn't come oversee the procedures at all. There were no witnesses called, and this was the best part. This truly is how flimsy and weak this thing is. They get to the weekend, and listen, they're pretty smart about one thing. Take the middle of the week so you can get some media coverage where the Democrats get up there and get to hammer on Trump, and then the Republican response began basically in earnest on Friday afternoon. If you want to bury a story in the media, you always release it on Friday afternoon. So they allowed on Friday afternoon the Trump attorneys to go do their thing, and it was devastating. I mean, this showing, the attorney showing played a video. It was a montage of all the Democrats, all the crazy liberals calling for violence against Trump. Put a bullet in him, punch him in the nose, take him behind the gymnasium, I'd beat the hell out of him. You know, all these violent things they've said. The comments of, who said that protests have to be peaceful? You know, Chris Cuomo on TV. And then others, my favorite, I think of all of them, was the Democrat congresswoman who said, she said, burning down buildings and destroying property is not violence. Those things are replaceable. We can rebuild them. She said, burning buildings and stealing stuff, looting and destroying things is nonviolent because it can be rebuilt. So if I break her arm and the doctor can reset her arm and her arm's no longer broken, that's not violence? These people are unhinged. It's so laughable. They played this video and it's just fantastic. I linked the video in the patron post on Saturday. We do a weekly newsletter for the patrons and I put some fun stuff in there and hopefully the patrons like it. I'm getting good feedback. They enjoy it. This is one of the videos that I linked of this thing from Friday. If you haven't seen it, you can find it out there on the interwebs, as they say. But it's really astonishing how many things they had said over the 4 years with Trump in office and how stupid they looked at this point when they're playing this video in front of the Senate of all the different people on the left calling for violence or unrest or taking to the streets or burning things or doing whatever, including Kamala Harris. Who was asked by Ellen DeGeneres, if you got stuck in an elevator with Donald Trump and Mike Pence, you know, who would you rather ride in the elevator with? She says, do they have to come out alive? Oh, they laugh. That's so funny. Like, I'm going to get in the elevator and kill those guys. Unbelievable. Lindsey Graham was quoted yesterday as saying, you know, if we get control of the House in 2 years, maybe we'll impeach Kamala Harris for that comment. He's basically saying, this is going to be a tit for tat, that the Pandora's box has been opened. The Democrats have done this, and the Republicans will just turn right around when we have the House and do it back to them. Hey, listen, there's definitely a part of me that would love to see that, just to see the complete 180 that the media do, that the media reports on if it was a Democrat this was happening to, just to see the difference. I just love to see it. But I do think there is always time to rise above the low-life level of the Dems and not do this ridiculous crap that they've been pulling the last few years. So this video gets played. It's amazing. It's damning. It's over at that point. At that point, they've all been exposed because this lawyer, the lawyer basically turns to them all and says, why are we here? Why aren't we impeaching you and you and you? And he starts pointing at these senators and congresspeople and just pointing at them, go, why aren't we impeaching you? Why aren't we impeaching you? Why aren't we impeaching you? And then he said, you know what? As unhinged and crazy as some of these things were that you said, I am here today to defend your right to say them. I don't think you should be impeached for saying these things. But neither should Donald Trump. He used the word fight in his speech. And then they did a montage of all the different Democrats that have used the word fight in their speeches on stages. It's unbelievable. It was just a complete and utter beatdown. So then the Democrats decide they're not going to call any witnesses. That it was, this was just about the lawyers giving their statements, and here it is, and we're going to take our vote. And so it comes out the reason they're not going to have any witnesses, because they were going to have witnesses. Pelosi, Schumer, they all wanted to have witnesses. Senator Leahy is up on the dais at one point on Friday, and you can hear the audio, and he's mumbling under his breath, and he goes, this is all effed up. You can hear him say it. I mean, he knows it. They know this thing is just a complete sham and a joke. And now they're trying to defend him by saying he was talking about his glasses, and he was saying, this is all fogged up. This is the press coverage they get. This is what they get. So we have all this stuff happen, and they're going to call witnesses, and then they find out that Vanderveen and Cho and the attorneys for Trump are essentially going to subpoena Nancy Pelosi and question her as a witness as to why she declined additional security on January 6th at the Capitol. It was offered. Mitch McConnell of the Senate, Nancy Pelosi of the House, declined extra security. They were both notified. They were both asked, you want more security around the Capitol building? They both declined it. So Trump's lawyers are going to call Pelosi. They're going to subpoena her and throw her on the stand, and they're going to start questioning her as to why she declined extra security if she was so afraid of Trump. Oh, my God. Could you imagine throwing Pelosi on the stand? How much fun that would be. So the Democrats find this out, and they go, you know what? We're done. No witnesses. We're done. Let's just take a vote and get out of here. And they did, and they took a vote, and very early on Saturday, this stupid impeachment sham trial was absolutely over at that point. They also had one other thing that didn't get a lot of attention. There's an officer who died that day, January 6th, the Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, and he was laid in rest in the rotunda of the Capitol. We saw all this. All the politicians went by and paid respects. It was reported by the New York Times pre-impeachment that a Trump supporter took a fire extinguisher and bashed Sicknick in the head and killed him. The New York Times has now retracted that story. That also came out during the impeachment trial. Well, we're not exactly sure how Brian Sicknick died now. There's certainly no arrest. There's no person. They don't have somebody. The fire extinguisher thing is gone. A Trump supporter bashing the man with a fire extinguisher has disappeared. All right. We know these people didn't have weapons, which is a little bit surprising because you would have thought it is against the law to walk around Washington, D.C. with a concealed gun. They have a lot of gun laws there. Doesn't do much good. It's one of the most violent cities in the world. But they have a lot of gun laws there. We know this wasn't really a packing heat crowd that stormed the Capitol building. So since everybody knew that, and they were almost all peaceful with the cops and kind of having fun and taking selfies and things like that, there came this story from the New York Times about Officer Sicknick dying because he got bashed in the head by a fire extinguisher who was a Trump supporter. That story has been retracted by the New York Times. That happened during this impeachment trial as well. So they really don't know what they have. We still don't know what happened. Pelosi and Schumer are pushing very hard to have a commission to investigate what happened that day. A lot of times I believe commissions are a waste of time at the federal government level. There's got to be something else they can do other than these things. They want to do this because they want to rake Trump over the coals some more, somehow, some way outside of an impeachment. Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, this weekend says, I'm on board with it. Let's do the commission. And at first blush, you're like, wait a second, Lindsey Graham, because Republicans right and left are throwing Trump under the bus. mean, there were a bunch of Republicans that voted in this thing to convict. Okay, and there's no reason to convict Donald Trump. I mean, there was no reason to convict him in this trial. So it's petty. It's guys like Mitt Romney. You know the cast of characters. They're out there, and it's a petty, personal thing against Donald Trump. If Mitt Romney were the deciding vote on a conviction, if he were going to be the 66, 67 votes or 66, if he were going to be the 67th vote, I think he would have voted no. I think his vote would have been different. I think they're just making, it was all theater for them to shove it at Donald Trump and try to make him look bad, which failed miserably, even though they're saying this was a historic vote. No, it's just awful. This thing lasted, what, 3 days? No witnesses? No witnesses brought because they were afraid of what was going to happen to Pelosi. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was not there. There is no sitting president. This was the biggest sham ever. Then what it was based on was this officer being killed by a Trump supporter. I don't know. We only have one. We only have one murder, really, at this point, or killing. That murder's not the right term. Only one killing, and that was the police officer that shot the young woman that was in the Air Force, Ashley Babbitt. That really is the only one. Other people had, one guy had a stroke, another person had a heart attack, somebody fell and hit their head, so we had some deaths, but we only had one intentional killing, is what it looks like right now, and that was a police officer killing an Air Force veteran who was climbing up to try to get through a window. Just shot her dead. That's all we have. And they have not released the name of that person that did the shooting at this point. So there's a lot to unravel here, and it unraveled big time on the Democrats. And then, we hear all these things about the next commission, and we're going to do this, and we want to find out. I would just reiterate to the people who work in that building that you're not special. I'm sorry. You're not special. I don't care if you're in Congress or the Senate. You're not special. You may think you're special. You may have a special title. You may have a special role in society, but you are not special as a person. And to sit here with this complete and utter double standard, and Lindsey Graham's on board with this, and Mitch McConnell, we got to find out what happened, and we got to make this Capitol secure. What about the police station in Minneapolis? Yeah, I keep going back to the stuff. We've had billions and billions of dollars of damage done in the last year by rioting that we just ignore. And we allow people to do it. They loot, they riot, they kill. Illegal aliens are flooding into the country right and left. They're bringing COVID. They're bringing crime. We're allowing this to happen. We can't have a wall at the border, but you get a wall around the Capitol. It's unbelievable. You get troops there, and we don't. And I want to remind everyone that you represent us. You are there working for us. You're not special. I'm sorry to say, if you're in Congress, you're not that special. You're not that cool. We want what you have. That's what we're asking for. And if you're going to do it around the Capitol, you need to do it everywhere. And we need to protect our police and our citizens and the things that are going wrong out here, because there is a frustration on both sides that exists. And it will not take long. It will not take long for the left to start pointing fingers at each other under this regime. It just won't. I mean, this thing fell apart on them. They're embarrassed. They thought, oh, we're getting Trump on this one. Every single time they think they're getting Trump. Why do they always think that? We have all these GOP, one senator said this week, Trump's force will wane over time. Why would you think that? Everyone that has thought Donald Trump is going to fail or this is going to happen or whatever was wrong. They're always wrong. The only question we don't have about Trump is, what does he do next? We don't know what he's doing next. But I can promise you this, if he runs for president, he will be the Republican nominee. It will be a landslide of epic proportions in the primary. And we're really only 2.5 years away from the start of that, if that's what he decides to do. So these people that are running from him and now saying, oh, no, we're going to the middle. Don't go to the middle. Don't go to the middle. That's not where the votes are. They're just not. They're not. There is a rallied base of conservatives in this country that are serious. They are organized. They are getting together and packing together and voting like never before. And we've seen that. We had a record number of votes for Trump. Why would you want to run that candidate out? Nobody believes Joe Biden is the single most popular president in the history of the United States. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. So I'm sorry. Nobody believes that. Yet they say Trump's force will wane. This will all go away. They're always wrong about him. The only thing they don't know is what does he want to do? At the same time, you have the Biden administration, and they're not good. People are seeing this. It's not good. I mean, nothing's going. Look, this old man, Biden, went to Camp David this weekend, and his staff said he has nothing on his schedule. He has not been there a month and took vacation. Camp David is vacation. We're unwinding. We're going to Camp David for the weekend. He's going to sleep. This is what they said. He's going to sleep and play with the grandchildren. And he did. And then they released a video of him driving a Mario Kart machine. You know, like the fancy ones, the arcade ones they've got in there at Camp David for Sleepy Joe to be with his granddaughter and drive Mario Kart. This is what he did all weekend. This is our serious. This is the most popular president in history. This is what he's doing. Nothing on his schedule. For 2.5 days, nothing on his schedule. He slept and played video games with his granddaughter. That's what he did. That's what Biden's doing. I mean, you can't make this up. He's not even a month in and he's taking a vacation. And my God, if Trump had been playing video games with Barron during the pandemic, can you imagine what would have happened with that video? Oh, look at Trump. He took the weekend off, no events, and he's just playing with Barron. He's hanging out with Barron playing video games. Can you imagine? And it is sarcastic and it is tongue-in-cheek, but there are websites out there that are counting the deaths and said, okay, 60,000 deaths on his hands in 3 weeks, and he's playing video games with his granddaughter. Again, to be clear, only 6% of those deaths are COVID. The other 94% are people who were likely dying anyway and had COVID at the time of their death, or their death, which was maybe weeks away or months away, was brought on earlier by COVID. So we know how that works. And I don't blame Joe Biden for those deaths. In fact, I don't, maybe it's just me and my experience. Maybe you're having a worse experience than me. I don't think the vaccine rollout's been all that bad. I mean, my mom's going in for shot number 2 on Wednesday. She's thrilled. So it's going to be over for her on February 17th. COVID ends. The numbers are just plummeting. Dropping like a stone. I mean, between the tens of millions of us that have had it and the tens of millions more that will get the shots, and they say every American that wants the vaccine will have it by April. I believe that because not every American wants the vaccine. So somebody thought maybe that number was 50 to 60 million by the end of April. That's phenomenal. Thank Donald Trump. It's phenomenal. It's going okay. And yet we still have Kamala Harris out there saying, we're starting from scratch. People are asking her about it on HBO, on Axios, on HBO this weekend. She says, we're starting from scratch. Well, no, Dr. Fauci said 3 weeks ago, his quote was, quote, we certainly are not starting from scratch, unquote. Well, which is it? Come on. You're not starting from scratch. Stop the politics. You're in control now. You have everything. All right? Biden's president. You have the House. You have the Senate. Do your thing. Stop with the Trump derangement. This is insane. Let him go. Let's see what y'all got. Because you really don't have anything. You certainly don't have anything that brings you together. The only thing that brings you together, if you're on the left, if you're a Democrat, the only thing that brings you together is your hatred of Donald Trump. That's it. So they're just trying to keep this alive. They're trying to keep it going. And it's just so easy to see what it is that they're doing. My favorite moment of the weekend was Michael Vandermeer. Vandermeer, the attorney for Trump. He did an interview on CBS where the setup, and this is code, she says, to be fair, okay, the second any news anchor or journalist or question is about to come where they say, to be fair, that means to be unfair, here it comes. It's true. Watch, next time you see it, watch it. It's unbelievable. It's not even code word. It's just lying. It's like, okay, to be unfair, let me slant this question and try to get under your skin. So this is what this woman does on CBS. And this Vandermeer's on live. He's standing there in the rotunda. He's mic'd up. You've seen these interviews before. She goes, to be fair, the only evidence that the Democrats altered and tampered with was a blue check mark on a Twitter account and changing the date and the year of the thing, and then one other thing in a sentence that they said. She goes, to be fair, that's all they did. And the guy goes, wait a second, what? Wait. He said, excuse me, ma'am, this is the problem with the media. This is a trial. This was a Senate trial on an impeachment of a former president. And you're saying, to be fair, they only altered three things into evidence. They only lied and altered three things. They altered a video, they altered a blue check mark on a Twitter account, and they changed the year from 2021 to 2020 on a tweet. So what you're saying is, to be fair, they only broke the law and cheated in court three times. And he's looking to her. He goes, are you serious? You're kidding. And you wonder why people don't think anything of the media. Okay, this is a lawyer who's in a trial. Trials are about facts, except when they're on Capitol Hill and they're just about politics, because there were no facts here to impeach Trump. There was nothing there. And he just lets her have it. And he goes, no. He says, you don't get to be the judge of whether these are small things or big things. If you are tampering with evidence and altering the facts of a trial, you lose. It's a crime. You're not supposed to do it. He said, to be honest, we found other stuff too. We just didn't bring it. These were the three we brought. They altered videos. They changed blue check marks to make the person look like they were verified and, accredited. And then they changed the date on the thing to suit their timeline. And he's bringing this up. He's like, you're kidding me. Your question to me is, to be fair, the Democrats only altered three things, and they were all three pretty minor. He's like, wait, this is a trial. You don't get to alter evidence, even if you think you've altered it in a small way. And he lets her have it, and he talks about the media, and he just eventually takes his mic off and goes, I'm done. And he just mic dropped and walked away. It was fantastic. I mean, it was just a beatdown of the press is what it was. I loved it. I mean, I loved it. I love it when things like that happen. So I know we didn't spend a lot of time on the impeachment last week, but I also, honestly, I mean, you couldn't have hoped for a bigger debacle for the Dems than this. They're just running from this thing now. They're just running from it. I don't know what they'll find next. I don't know what it is they want. Biden can't find anything to do. He went on vacation. He's in Camp David playing video games. He doesn't know what to do next. I mean, come on. We're trying to roll a vaccine out. We're still in a pandemic. You're still closing things down. And we're putting a lid on this thing for the weekend. I'm going to go play video games. My granddaughter needs my time. Congratulations to Australia. A prime minister named Scott Morrison in Australia is very conservative, and he's in charge there. You may remember a few weeks ago on a podcast, I mentioned that they are standing up to Google and Facebook. And Scott Morrison, the prime minister of Australia, said, quote, we don't respond to threats, unquote, and told Google and Facebook, we will make the laws of Australia, we will enforce the laws of Australia, and you will do business in Australia under our law or not do business here at all. He's essentially saying, you are not going to change. You're not going to come in to my conservative regime and do in Australia what you just did to Trump. That is not happening. So you're out until you can work out a deal with the people in the media corporations in Australia and pay them for content, pay the Australian companies a fair share for their content, and decide what you want to put on your platforms. Until you become business partners, you are not coming in here raiding our country and changing it into what you just did in the United States. You're not doing this. You want the best evidence that the election in America was rigged? This is it. It's your prime minister in Australia. He's saying, that ain't happening to me here. What just happened to Trump is not happening here. I'm taking Google and Facebook down right now, and I've told them we'll start our own search engines and our own social media platforms in Australia with Australian companies. We know how you do what you do. We will make you illegal. We will block you from this country, and we'll have our own. It doesn't seem hard. These companies have gotten too big, and why they don't have competitors, I don't know. I mean, how'd Facebook get where they got? They replaced MySpace, right? MySpace was the first one. Then Facebook took it over and is bigger. So these conglomerates have just done this, and the prime minister of Australia has followed Hungary and Poland, I believe. And now that's three countries that have gone to Google and Facebook and said, you will not be allowed here unless you work out deals with our media companies and you will pay for content. And you will fall under every law, restriction, and guideline of our sovereign nation. You will not bring what it is that you're doing in the United States here. You will not. And they're winning. And very quietly, Google and Facebook are about to sign deals with media content companies and companies in Australia so they can have that marketplace and get the searches and get the social media and all that stuff. Way to go, Scott Morrison. You're winning, buddy. You're winning, and I love it. And we could kind of see that coming, and that needs to happen here. It will not happen in the next 2 years because the Dems are in charge. We are brought to you today by Elite Energy, part of Elite Automation. Elite Energy, folks, we've talked about Elite Automation since the inception of the podcast. They will redesign and redo all of the software that runs your mechanical systems, HVAC, machines, lighting, plug-in items, whatever, and they can save you a ton of money by getting a new system in place. Not the actual air conditioning part, the control panel. But if you don't want to make that commitment, Elite Energy is the basic, it's the free service that Elite Automation offers to companies who have warehouses, buildings, big buildings. What Elite Energy does is they'll come in with their equipment and technology. They'll hook it up to everything you're doing. They'll consult with you and say, we think you should run this machine this time of day, this one, da, 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 and they'll give you a plan. And if you follow that, you begin saving money right away without buying anything. When you save money on your energy bills, Elite Energy gets a portion of that. That's it. That's how you pay them, on a percentage. It's no cost to you. You should check this out. If you own, operate, or even work in a bigger building, or if you're a sales rep that goes, you tell them about this company. If you're a sales rep that deals with people in bigger buildings, you tell the person in charge there about this service, and if they save money by doing this, they're going to look great with their owner or their boss, and you're going to look great. Spread the word. EliteAutomate.com. BStock.net, the outlet store in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. Chris and the gang at BStock. This is the only way to buy electronics. So I've mentioned a couple times we're building a new house. I'm going to be getting some new TVs that we'll be putting in. I'm not even looking anywhere. There'd be no reason ever to look anywhere else other than BStock. Go to this outlet store and you will save 30% on televisions. That's just across the board. Samsung, LG, Vizio, across the board savings. Open box, bad box, shelf life TVs, these all have warranties. These are new products. It's an outlet store right now, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. If you want to learn more about their company, check them out online, bstock.net. That's bstock.net. You can order online too. If you don't live in Kansas City, order it right there. You're still going to save money over the other guys by ordering from bstock.net and having it shipped to where you live. Back 9 Development is a real estate development company and licensed general contractor specializing in custom building. And right now they're focusing on a new condominium project called the Solheim at Colbert Hills Golf Course. These are unbelievable upscale condominiums. That's the only way to go with Back 9 Development. They really specialize in custom building, and these babies are something else. They're on the 10th hole. I got a friend, Danny and Stacy, the Higgins, that we had a couple beers with on Friday evening, and he's got a second home there at Colbert Hills. Spends a lot of time there. It's Gecko Painting is what he's with. So they paint a lot of houses that are being built at Colbert Hills and in Manhattan and things like that. So it's business as well, but he's got a place where he stays there. And these condos are right by where his house is. He's like, wow, that's pretty cool. The condos, he's got the full house, but I think if this had been a couple of years ago, he probably just would have had the condo to buy as an investment. He likes it on game weekends. He does business in Manhattan. So he stays out there sometimes a couple nights a week as they're doing projects at different houses there with Gecko Painting and whatnot. Back9development.com. TJ's the best. He loves the podcast. He loves to play some golf, and he loves to build a great custom home. And he'd be honored to have the opportunity to build your next home. Or if you would like information about the Solheim at Grand Mere, just call TJ at 785-236-0161. That's 236-0161. These are condos on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Upscale, a beautiful resort-style pool, clubhouse, elevators, covered parking. It's all right there. Solheim at Grand Mere. Log on to back9development.com. That's the numeral 9. Back9development.com. So when football ends, what's the biggest sports story of the weekend after football? Okay, it is the Daytona 500. And I know that's not on a lot of people's radar. We'll get to that in a moment. But maybe the biggest story was Johnny Manziel playing football this weekend. You remember Johnny Football? 2012 Heisman? There's a league called fan-controlled football. I think it's where you say whether this should be a run play or a pass play. I don't know. Manziel wasn't very good. He thinks he's over the hill. He said after the game, win or lose, we still booze. It's all good. It's a funky little league. It's not getting any traction, really. I think it's on something called Twitch, which is a streaming service. I think that's where the games are. I didn't see it. I saw a clip of him. Johnny Manziel has lost a step. But he's good for that league to get a little attention this weekend. So if you're looking for football, there's alternatives out there. I just never have been a Johnny Manziel guy. I never thought he was going to make it. I never thought he was serious. I see him more like a Kardashian, like a sports Kardashian. He's an interesting guy. He lives a fun life, I guess, a social media life. And so he's out there playing football now in something called fan-controlled football. And somehow that got a lot of attention this weekend that he went out and did that. The big story of the weekend was the Daytona 500. And I love NASCAR. I'm not like dyed in the wool. I don't watch every moment of every race. But I got a couple things that have always bothered me about NASCAR. One of the things I mentioned last week is Denny Hamlin finished fifth, by the way. If he'd won and he was in the lead before they pitted with 30 laps to go or whatever it was, he had the lead and was going to win this thing. That would have been three in a row, and that would have been very historic. Denny Hamlin's something else at Daytona. He finished fifth. And he co-owns with Michael Jordan and Pitbull the 2311 racing team. And that is Bubba Wallace's team. They only have one car. Hamlin's a co-owner of a team that he doesn't drive for. He drives for Joe Gibbs. It's just weird. It's a strange sport that way. So there's some things about NASCAR I don't like. The other thing I don't like is, you know, I'm watching the last 50 laps last night. I'd been in and out watching it. Okay, let's just see who's around at the end. We know what's going to happen. The big one's coming. There's going to be a massive crash at the end of the race. There's just going to be. Somebody's going to bump somebody on purpose in an attempt to get past them. Now, to me, this is no different than pass interference in football or a flagrant foul in basketball. It's the same thing. You're doing something. Well, actually, it's a worse kind of pass interference. It would be like you tackle the guy because you know you're beat and it's going to be a touchdown and you just don't let him catch the ball. That's what this is. And they allow it in NASCAR, and I don't know why they allow it. And I really like this guy that won, Michael McDowell. He's a great story. He's been doing this 14 years. He's on a very small team, Front Row Racing or something that nobody ever heard of. He's never won before. But they were all Jeff Gordon, and Clint Boyer, by the way, was very good as the announcer on Fox. Kansas City's own Clint Boyer, pretty darn good on Fox. He had some real personality to that broadcast. I think he's going to fit in real nicely in the booth because he just doesn't care. Clint Boyer, and he'll say anything. And I think that's very beneficial when you're the color analyst for a race. And he was doing that last night. And he said, look, Michael McDowell, he said, this guy's a driver's driver. He said, he's not on some big team. But, man, he does everything right the whole race. I said, look where he is. He's in third place. This guy's in third place. He does everything right. He's done everything right all night long, and he's sitting third at the Daytona 500. He said, if you can't respect the way this guy drives on that also-ran team in that little-known car, man, you don't know anything about driving a race car. He said, this guy can drive. This guy knows strategy. They're smart. They don't have the budget. They don't have the engines. They don't have the stuff that everyone else has. But, man, they know what they're doing. These guys are professionals. He said, I'm telling you, there were times I was racing. Clint Boyer was saying this. There were times I'd race, and I'd look in my mirror, and I see McDowell right behind me. I go, uh-oh, this guy can drive. And he said, I knew I had a better car than him, but it didn't matter. He really knows how to drive. It was cool hearing Clint Boyer say that. He said, he's probably not going to win here. He's sitting third. I don't think he's got the fast enough car to go low on the track with a couple laps to go and go around everybody. He said, I don't think he can do that. Well, they always talk about the strategy of drafting, bump drafting, who's going to go low, who's going to do what. That's never the way these things are decided anymore. These things are always decided by somebody intentionally hitting someone else. And Michael McDowell, who's never won, decided, you know what, it's my turn. And I don't know why they wait until the last lap. To me, they should do this with three laps to go. I guess the reason you do it is you're just trying, and it worked for him. He's trying to win on the last lap by bumping the people in front of him. If you do it with three laps to go, you're going to have a green-white checker situation where they have a restart. I think they should always have a restart. This happened on the last lap. I don't think the race should end that way. Okay, so it happened. I think they should have lined them up and restarted them and see who wins. And I just wish there was officiating in NASCAR. Because what McDowell did, he's running third. Brad Keselowski, the two cars right in front of him, running second. And then Joey Logano's winning the race. And it looks like Joey Logano's going to win, right? We're down to the last lap. Well, the 34 car, which is McDowell, just comes up and boom, right in the back of Keselowski, the two car. When he bumps him, what happens? and he bumped him straight from behind. He didn't clip him to try to flip him. So he needed to take out two cars because he's running third. So he hits Keselowski from behind. Keselowski then bumps in to Joey Logano, the 22 car. He smashes, he cuts into the lead car. They both lose control, spin out, and the third place car, McDowell, goes right through him and right past him. The wreck happens. There's fire everywhere. Most of the wreck was behind him, right? So McDowell clears, and he goes through, and then it's mayhem. 15 cars, I don't know, a whole bunch. They're all on fire. The yellow comes out immediately. So you don't have to finish the lap to be under yellow. The second this happened, the yellow comes out. Well, when the yellow comes out, Michael McDowell is slightly ahead of Chase Elliott. He's about a car length ahead of Chase Elliott. That's it. The race is over. Now you're under caution. All he has to do is get to the finish line, which he did, and he won the race. Look, I'm happy for the guy. I think it's a great story. I think this is a horrific and terrible way to win a race. And I don't understand why NASCAR just keeps allowing it. They need to get back to cleaner racing. Yes, people like to see accidents. They do. It's an unfortunate thing, but they do. And the cars are so safe, rarely does anyone get hurt. And this was a fiery mess last night, and nobody got hurt. So I just think they got to get to a point where you're penalized. We will not end a race under caution, period. That in the case of, we're going to review this, video review, and we're going to say, this is Michael McDowell's fault. He caused this. Okay, Michael, you go back to the back of the lead lap. I think there were 17 cars or something on the lead lap. So you go back to 17th place on the restart. You got to penalize these guys. Rewarding somebody for just taking two cars out in front of them to win a race is not a race. It's not a race. It's mud wrestling. And was it exciting? Yeah. But, I mean, we're sitting here waiting going, okay, who's going to do the dumb thing? Because Lowski's running second. I guess at some point he was going to try to drop low on the final stretch and get around Joey Logano. And he said right after the race, he goes, yeah, I'm fine. It was a bad wreck. I'm fine. He said, I didn't do anything wrong, but I can't drive the car for other drivers. And he's right. I can't drive anybody else's car. That's exactly right. If you're Brad Keselowski, and I'm not a Keselowski fan. And I like the story of Michael McDowell winning the race. I like it a lot, but I just think they have to find a way somehow in NASCAR to penalize drivers at the end of a race for just intentionally hitting somebody and putting them into the wall so you can go around them. That doesn't seem like a sport to me. It seems to me like the last place you want to be is first place. Really, right? Second, third, or fourth seems like the place to be. What if the fourth place car had done that to McDowell? If the fourth place car hits McDowell, he hits Keselowski. Keselowski probably doesn't hit Logano. You have a massive tie up behind, and Logano goes on and wins the race. So the fourth place car sitting there thinking, nah, I can't do that. But the third place car is thinking, I just got to hit this dude into that dude. And I've got this. So is third place the best place to be? I don't know. Sure was last night. I like NASCAR. I like racing. I think it's cool, but they've got to find a way to not have this. The NCAA committee revealed a bracket reveal this weekend for the NCAA tournament. The headline here is the Missouri Tigers are a four seed. They reveal them 1 through 16, essentially, and Missouri was 16. Missouri lost to Arkansas on Saturday in a game that they could have won. Got it to overtime, didn't win it. Missouri, we'll just have to watch them here down the stretch. Maybe they're fading a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. They're a four seed right now. Gonzaga and Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State are the ones. And I think right now, if it ended today, Missouri would be a four and Kansas would be a five. And to not, everybody's playing in Indianapolis, so there's no regions now. There's no reason not to do this. Before, they'd say, well, they're the higher-ranked four seed, so we don't want to send them all the way to California. We'll let them play in Iowa or something like that, right? We've all heard that through the years. That's gone this year. Everybody's in Indiana. The entire field is going to Indiana, okay? They're all going to be in one place. There is no reason to not, if Kansas and Missouri are four and five, and hey, by the time this plays out, Kansas could be the four and Missouri could be the five. We don't know how it's going to end. But they're both right there on that line, and it looks like maybe that's where they belong. Could Kansas get up to a three? Maybe, but I think they're going to come in with some losses. They've got Tech and Texas and Baylor to end the season after they beat K-State Wednesday night. They will beat K-State Wednesday night, right? So they're going to have those three games, and I think it's reasonable to believe they'll lose two of the three. I think maybe if you're Kansas, you take one of those wins. If they won two of three, that'd be great. I don't think they're thinking about anything better than that. And their tournament will end in Kansas City with a loss. So they've probably got at least three more losses on them this year. So it's going to be real hard to get up to the three line when you do that. I'd love to see Missouri and KU play each other. Keep them on the four and a five line. Everybody's going to Indiana anyway. Let's have this basketball game. Let's have it. Our absurd moment of the week comes from Lorraine Groh. It's like Groh. It's like your last name is G-R-O-H, Groh, with an S on the end. Lorraine Groh. You've never heard of her, right? I'm going to guess she's really liberal. She wants an apology from Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady, everybody, nobody on the right seems to know that Brady is like a big Trump guy, but everybody on the left knows it. It's like, I always hear these people on the left talking about QAnon. Like, what is that? I've never gone there. I don't know what that is. I don't, they're fixated on it. I'm like, I don't know anybody that, none of my friends talk about QAnon. I don't know what that is. It's like the left knows more about, it's just so whacked. Oh, Lorraine Groh is the daughter of the gentleman that worked for Tiffany and Company in the 60s that designed the Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi trophy. She wants an apology from Tom Brady for throwing the trophy from one boat to another because it disrespected the trophy and her father's work. I'm going to repeat this again. The woman who is the daughter of the man who designed a trophy 58 years ago wants an apology from Tom Brady for safely tossing the trophy from one boat to the next because it was disrespectful of the trophy and her dad's work. Do you think she's a liberal? I bet my house on it. I shouldn't say that. One of you will probably look it up and send me an email and say, oh, no, she's a... No. She doesn't like Tom Brady. Now, if George Stephanopoulos tossed the trophy, it'd probably all be okay. But not Tom Brady. That's the most absurd thing you'll hear this week. She demanding an apology from Tom Brady. Just ridiculous. And I got a great email here from Steve, who is a patron. And you can still sign up to be a patron at kkhasissues.com if you'd like to be a patron. It's $5 a month. We do a couple, three podcasts a week just for the patrons. And the newsletter every week, the patrons post. And Steve sends me an email very early on Monday morning. Says, hey, Kev, just listen to Spencer's Weekend Podcast at Podbean. Good stuff. I went to close the app, but I hit the top 100 button by mistake. So I thought, what the hell? I'll check it out. You're on the list. You're one of the top 100 podcasts. I heard you say last week you'd hit 500,000 downloads, but damn, dude, top 100 nationally? Congratulations on your success. Proud to be a patron. Keep them coming. Steve. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but I will look it up. I went to Podbean earlier today and saw they have a list of most popular, and there were about 15 podcasts up there, and my logo was up there. It was like two logos off from Ben Shapiro. It was under News, Not Sports, which I thought was interesting. So I don't know. It's going to be hard for me to get categorized with this podcast because I don't really fit under news and I don't really fit under sports, and everybody wants to categorize you as one of those, either news, sports, or politics, and I don't fit neatly under one of those because we just do a lot of different things here, which is the way I like it, and I hope you like it that way. But it goes what I said last week. I can't thank you enough for listening. We've had a huge growth in followers in the last 2 weeks. I don't know exactly what's happened, but we've added about 800 new followers in the last couple of weeks, and I'm just thrilled with that. So if you are out there telling people to hit that follow or subscribe button, that's absolutely free, and I cannot thank you enough for doing that. It is the key to everything. It's the key to getting noticed and distributed and pushed up on lists like this. People will see that on Apple Podcasts or Podbean site. They may live in Poughkeepsie and see it and go, oh, I'll give this podcast a try. And that'll work. Because like I did some things today. I think a lot, you don't have to live in Kansas City to have, I don't think you have to be a Kansas City and really to have enjoyed any of this today. I don't think. So I think there will be a broad appeal for people if they find it. And when you hit that follow or subscribe button or get a friend to do that, that helps get distributed in other places or seen in other places where we can appeal to others and make a difference. And that's what I'm trying to do, man. I'm just trying to make a difference with my voice, doing what I love to do, and I can't thank you enough for being here. If you want to become a patron, you can unlock the newsletter from Saturday. It's a good one. And read it right away. If you sign up today, we'll get you emailed and get you those things, and you unlock all of the 57 patron podcasts we've done to this point or something like that. You get all of them. You get the whole library of the Patron podcast and then all the newsletters as you're going forward. So go to kkhasissues.com and sign up for as little as $5 per month to become a patron of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.